very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 14th September 2023, Thursday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code by me. We are at Unique Code number 90. So as usual, let us gather and have our physical puja. Namo Bunsu Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsu Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Padipa puja. Ganna sarpa dithena dithena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina. Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kesuma santatin Pujayami Monindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Betang Sumenanena Punena Matena Chahotu Mokang Pupang Milayati Yata Idamme Kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motamang adivase tu no bante Pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind. And help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel of darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration, by the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Do sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Let us pay respect to Paja. Bhutang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Before I start, I got a short announcement. Today is our last Thursday class before the 2 weeks leave. I will be away, traveling to China with my wife. So next 2 weeks, the classes will be cancelled. I think until end of September or maybe 1st of October. So just let those who attend the class know first. I will send the notice out, okay? So as usual, the four support, to develop awareness-based meditation are very important, especially the first three. First is, as usual, relax body and mind. After that, you just maintain awareness. No need to do any other things. Then after that, stabilize the awareness. So relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize it. Then after that, use it to meditate. So the four support, make sure at least the first three, you develop it. Relaxation is very important. Ability to relax is paramount, most important. So make sure your entire physical body and your, what they call, mind is in a state of complete relaxation, means at ease, no problem. Then after that, you just silence everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just completely silent to maintain awareness. The moment you are aware means you have no thought. When you have thought, you cannot be aware. So by not doing anything, you will be in the state of awareness. So remembering this is very important. Without thought, you are already aware. So no need to try to be aware. The thought that try to be aware cannot be aware. But when you don't have thought, that mind is in the natural state of awareness without thought. So maintaining awareness is very easy if you understand. Then as a human being, we have our senses all active. Then sense data, when they imprint upon our sense bases, they will trigger off sense, the consciousness. Then because we are so conditioned, so used to the thinking process, the thought process, upon contact, not only you become conscious, immediately you start to perceive, think, and create mental proliferation. So this is how human beings get distracted from their true mind. So maintaining awareness is just aware, finish. No need to know. Stop everything after that. Whether it's a vibration, sound, or music, or whatever, or even aircon sound, our fan rotating sound, or even anything you smell, you taste, you tactile feel, or the thought arise. Just aware. Finish. And of course, sometimes you do see things. Mental images, external perception, whatever that come by, just aware. Finish. By doing that, you start to develop the ability to be at ease, to be at peace, to just be mindful. This will cut away all the thinking. So it will help you decondition the thinking. So the habitual thinking, they will start to become like less and less and less. And as you don't give it any more mental thought energy to think, then this habitual tendency of thinking will slow down until finally it ceases. When there is no more thought, no more aggregates of mind, means no more perceiving anything or feeling anything or thinking of anything, or be conscious or anything, then there is just this pure awareness within. So ability to be aware is very important. So continue to develop the ability, aware. Then whatever arises, aware, finish. So continue to stabilize this process of awareness until it becomes a part of you, until your whole mind becomes so quiet, so still, and so tranquil. During this time, you will experience a type of sudden shift in consciousness where your consciousness becomes very quiet, very still, like no more activity, no more movement. During that time, don't be curious, just aware, understand what is going on enough. Then be that awareness, silent awareness to observe. There is no one there, it's just the awareness nature that is aware. Whatever is aware of, just aware, finish. Through this, you can develop the wisdom, the understanding. You can also insight into phenomena and awaken. So the silent mind observing nature, observing phenomena, observing what arises within your form and mind is the meditative process. When you are able to observe silently, you start to develop understanding. You will start to understand how everything come to be, how the process of thinking arise. Then through that, you come to know who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being, and how upon contact of sense data with your sense basis, how it triggers the respective or corresponding consciousness. Then what happened after that? You will see them. You will understand them. Then you will also come to understand how the emotion arises in you, how you stir your mind, how you react to sense experience, how you become what you are, how fear arises, how thought arises, how worry, anxiety, restlessness of mind, doubt arise. All this you will come to understand. Then through the silent, constant observation, you start to realize that all these are dependent originating mind state, condition arising, cause of phenomena, no reality. Dependent on something, it trigger. Nothing exists on its own, because we are living in the world of condition arising, phenomenal world. The existential world has this universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. Anicchang is impermanent. Then dukkang is suffering. Anatta is empty nature or existence, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's non-self, not you, not what you think. So all this understanding, they will unfold and you will develop the understanding. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that we need to make use of to develop the mindfulness in our daily life. leading to heedfulness. Invocation to the Deus. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusahanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanaiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttaram Punyam Ketam Lokasati Sadhu 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 Unicode number 90 is on page 26 of the book. After you have learned the Dhamma, one must understand it clearly. Through constant contemplation, reflection and inquiry into the Dhamma to straighten one's view. So this is most important. So I repeat, after having learned the Dhamma, which most of Kayamita has already done so, one must understand it clearly. The word is clearly. Through what? You can only stabilize it and understand it clearly through constant contemplation. Is you must contemplate on the Dhamma that you have developed as understanding. The constant contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the Dhamma as thought or you have developed as understanding is very important. That this is the second turning wisdom. What you may have understood is just the first turning wisdom. And sometimes if you do it without understanding, via thought based, what you have is just knowledge, not even the first turning wisdom. The first turning wisdom is wisdom born of hearing the sutta during the Buddha's time. That's why it's called Suttamayapanya. Wisdom born of constantly listening to the true Dhamma. Yeah. So if you don't know how to listen, you don't have the art of listening. You listen according to your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. We are thought-based type of understanding. Then what you develop is mostly knowledge, not Dhamma. So the art of listening is important. You must listen with a silent mind, in awareness, attentive, completely attentive. So having the ability to be attentive is very important. That's why they say you must pay attention. So ability to listen attentively without thought, without the interference from our memory, our views, opinion, and conditioning, and belief system, is you listen attentively. If it's the truth, it will give rise to understanding. It will have an effect on our nature because we are listening from the silent mind, the true mind, from our nature. So that time of listening is very important. It's not easy, but can be done. Yeah. But initially, of course, we have what we call pariyatti, the three phases of Dhamma. So pariyatti in a sense is slightly different from what we call the first turning wisdom, Suttamayapanya. Suttamayapanya is the listening, attentive listening with mindfulness, with awareness. Whereas pariyatti is phase one of the Dhamma, where you start to learn the teaching. So the phase one is the learning of the teaching. So the learning can come from knowledge, can come from contemplation is later, but you can include contemplation, reflection, yeah, and inquiry. But most important thing is how you learn it. You can listen to it. So initially, maybe you lack mindfulness. So your listening is normally thought-based. It's okay. You develop some form of knowledge first, but there is a learning. So Dhamma knowledge is the initial phase. Then after that, the phase two of the Dhamma is, the Buddha say, Patipatti. You have to put it into practice. You have to cultivate it, develop the understanding of it. So the cultivation part is very important. Yeah. To cultivate, you need to be heedful. You need to be mindful, like what the Buddha said. So here, heedfulness is defined as the constantly meditative and ever mindful. means you have not developed the stability of mindfulness to be ever mindful. You cannot use that mind, the silent mind or the true mind, to be in a state of constant meditative state. Means ever mindful, constantly meditative. Unless you have these two developed, you can never be heedful. But the moment you are heedful, the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. And you have this, what they call, constantly meditative and ever mindful mind state. It implies you are heedful. And heedfulness is very important. When you are heedful, you never die. You will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana, in the here and the now. So all this point towards the importance of mindfulness leading to heedfulness. So here, one must understand it clearly is what I mean by the patipatti. You have to put it to test. You have to meditate on it. After learning, after listening, then you reflect, you contemplate, then you inquire. And after you do that, you develop stability of wisdom. That's why first turning, if you have it in your past cultivation, you have developed this before, then the moment you hear truth, or truth that is related to what you have cultivated before, you can straight away like awaken to it, or develop the attraction to it. Like you have this very strange feeling inside that this is beautiful. Like the meaning is so clear to you, because this can only happen if you have cultivated before. That's why during the Buddha's time, a lot of them, through listening to him, they develop awakening. Some, in fact many, develop the first stage of sainthood, sotapannaship. And sometimes it's not necessary that you listen to the Buddha. Like Sariputta, he listened to Asajj, and he also become an Arya, a sotapan. Then there are many through listening to the Buddha. There was one Jataka story, if I'm not wrong. A group of ladies, I think, who went to listen to the Buddha's proclamation and all things. And because they are so attentive, so full of faith, most of them attain anagamiship, that stage of sainthood. And there are many incidents of thousands of monks after hearing the fire sermon, they attain arhatship. But most of them are like the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. When the Buddha proclaimed the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon, initially, before the sutta end, only one of the five ascetic, Kondanya, he awakened and became a sotapan. He realized sotapanaship. Then later on, the Buddha continued with the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. So this Anatta Lakkhana Sutta is very powerful. The realization of non-self. The moment he finished the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, all the other four ascetic together with Kondanya, five of them all become arahant. Why is this possible? where in the past they have cultivated before. Even though the listening, first turning, not all get it, but Kondanya got it because of his past and his affinity with Sakyamuni. He was the one that actually he was promised that life. He was the king of Kaliga. When the Bodhisattva, which is Sakyamuni Buddha, prior to his certification to Samasa Buddhahood, that time he was an ascetic. He cultivated to perfect the 10 perfection. At that time, he was perfecting the virtue of patience, Kanti. Yeah. So during that time, the king of Kaliga happened to be there. Then because of certain incident, I think he wanted to find out whether what the ascetic say is true or not. So he actually tested him. He asked his men, Tai Himawan, through 4 very strong, powerful horses, trying to tear the body of the Bodhisattva apart. The Bodhisattva say, no problem. Then after they did that, what happened was the Bodhisattva was without any anger, nothing. His Kanti was tested and he passed. Then he said, by the power of this truth, if I had any mental states of dislike or aversion or pain or what, may my limbs not come back to me. But if I don't have any of this, may my limbs come back to me. All the 4 limbs came back to him. Then the king of Kaliga panicked, came down on the horse, paid respect, and asked for forgiveness. The ascetic being very kind, said, don't worry, don't worry. You are the one that enabled me to pass the final test of this perfection. Then he said, you will be the first that I will take across when I become a Samasambuddha. And that's how Kondanya become the first to become awakened. So that was according to the Jataka story. So if you look at all this, you will start to understand why the cultivation is not what you think. So here in this unique quote, I put it very clearly. After having learned the Dhamma, do not be complacent. Don't think you already know. You must stabilize the understanding. That's why I say one must understand it clearly. Means you stabilize the understanding. Through what? Through the second turning wisdom. Constantly contemplate into it, reflect on it, inquire into the Dhamma to develop the right understanding, to straighten your views. So straightening of one's view is a meritorious action, one of the 10 meritorious action. So during the early days of my cultivation, I remember I met many guide and teacher. Every time I met them, I received this message, contemplation. Yeah. Especially Achanyantra, my teacher. He spoke to me not less than 7 occasions. We choose contemplate the Dhamma. He used the word until very, very clear. Yeah. Then later on, I met a few more, in total, not less than 6, I think. Yeah. Monks and guide are telling me the same. During that period, very strange. Then I continued to reflect and contemplate, and at that time I didn't know it was the second turning. I was only told. Then I also like to contemplate, very strange. That was in my nature during my cultivation in the early years. I remember 86, 87, then 88. Then during the year 1989, the contemplation becomes so clear, so stable, until my nature rejoins. Then suddenly, at the Cameron Highlands retreat, a short 5-day retreat, I went into cessation, and my nature connect. That was just a glimpse, but not a short one. That glimpse was for a while, I remember. Then all of a sudden, like my nature dissolved into the oneness nature. Like all of a sudden, my mind transformed. There was no more of the thinking mind, the mundane mind. It like ceased. Then after that, the next moment, like that mind has become the oneness nature, one with everything throughout the entire existence. Then the time I still remember, very strange, like in the meditative state in Sanpaosi, Cameron Highland. If I want to know anything, I can know. Even very, very distant phenomenal vibration or what. That's why that time the nature was so different. Then it became like so amazed. So that was the realization of the oneness after that cessation. Then after that I came out of it. Then throughout the day I was ever mindful. I didn't speak that retreat. Not a word until out of the retreat. Then after that, the walking, the contemplation, everything like transformed. Everything I came to encounter, Dhamma is everywhere. Then all the teaching like suddenly become clear to me. Everything I read, the understanding just shine forth. So this advice is very important. That's why I include in the unit code. One must understand it clearly through constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the Dhamma to straighten one's view. So when you straighten your view, means what? You develop right understanding. You develop yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. So when this one stabilizes within your nature, at the moment of sense contact or sense experience, this Dhamma understanding, which is yoniso manasikara, wisdom, born of cultivation, they will surface and prompt you. That's why Yoniso Manasikara, which is step for the Abhijja Sutta, that one can arise. And that one, you need to develop the contemplation until very, very clear. Even after, let's say, you go through the third turning, Bhavana Maya Panya, that develops the direct seeing, the insight in the phenomena, the awakening. After you've gone through the awakening or the realization or the direct seeing, when you come out of it, you must also contemplate and reflect to stabilize understanding. But those who went through the third turning, very strange. You know what that thing is on. That one is like what the Buddha said, Pachetang Veditabhu Vinuhiti. So can only be realized by the wise each for themselves. So the awakening is very penetrative. It's actually inside you already, but you may not know it. But when you encounter a situation, that one will come out and you know how to act. Yeah. But this constant contemplation, reflection, and inquiry to develop the stability or the wisdom is very important and useful, because this is to develop the second stage of understanding, which is to enable oneself to later on express it or teach the Dhamma that you have realized. Otherwise, like most cultivators, after they either go through the awakening or cessation, then after that, they actually have the understanding, but they cannot share with you. They cannot explain to you. They only know themselves. So that part, ability to share, ability to expound, to actually let people develop the understanding, that one you need constant contemplation. Because when you have this, it becomes very clear inside you, your nature. That's why you look at me, I don't bring anything. Sometimes I go give talk or what, or impromptu you ask me a question from my nature, it just come out. Because this one is not from memory. This one got condition, it arise, it manifests. So when it understand, it will know what that thing is, then it can share based on that understanding. But because of my past, my nature's past, it has developed this before. So this life, when it come, it received this very past. But the way my nature give and share is the way my nature receive. So when this parami arise, whenever my nature arise, the Dhamma will come to me very fast. I will learn it, I will understand it very fast. Then I can stabilize the understanding, then I can share. That's why it's different. Not every cultivator or awakened being can have this parami to share and to develop all this ability. But as long as you develop the cultivation sincerely, most important thing is to awaken first. Then to stabilize the understanding is the next phase. You can do that. It will add to your perfection, your understanding, your cultivation, and all those things. So now I read it again. Unicode 90. After having learned the Dhamma, one must understand it clearly. Through constant contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the Dhamma to straighten one's view so that we can have the right view and right understanding, leading to Dhamma wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Then cultivate diligently according to Avijja Sutta to realize the truth, or to realize it, the true nature of life and existence. So the steps in the Avijja Sutta is a very important guide. So this one, after you have developed the learning of the teaching, which is Pariyatti, then you must contemplate it, reflect on it, inquire into it. We are the second turning to stabilize the understanding. Then after that, cultivate diligently following Avijja Sutta. So now we go into Avijja Sutta one more time, so that you can develop the understanding. So Avijja Sutta, there are 10 steps leading to enlightenment in the here and now. So step one is what? You must have kayamita, right? So associate with kayamita. So once you have the opportunity to associate with kayamitas, means Dhamma friends, or Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma, and there are two types of kayamitas. One is the normal one, not attained yet, not enlightened yet, but they have the faith, they have the understanding, they are sincere, they are diligent. The other one is kayamita or Dhamma friend that has the Dhamma, means they awaken already, they have the understanding. So you associate with them, you have opportunity, time to constantly listening to the Dhamma. You understand? And that is step two of the Abhijja Sutta. Having opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. This one is step two. And this one is very important. So nowadays, maybe we are more fortunate because of technology. We not only able to listen, we can even read it on the internet via textbook and other things. Then we have video and all the other advanced scientific instruments to help us, even recording and other things. So following the Abhijja Sutta means first step, you must develop the understanding that is very important to associate with kayamita. You are according to the Buddha. Kayamita ship is 100% of your holy life, not 50%. If you really want to walk this path without kayamita, you cannot do it. After what I went through, this one is 100% true. Without kayamita, without the great beings, without all the guide teachers, the one who have developed the cultivation before us, there is no way you can penetrate this teaching. So having the ability to have Dhamma friend association with kayamita is number one. So this one, most kayamita would have this. Then after that, the second step is opportunity, time to listen to the true Dhamma. So this step two, don't assume. You look at all the kayamita, how many really go all out to listen to this? Of course, I don't deny there are quite a number. But most of them, they didn't understood it. They take it lightly. You remember in the early day, how did Alicia progress? He was chasing Suyan for the recording, you remember? Listening non-stop. It seems, according to Elsie, when he was in that trip to China, Xinjiang, he was listening non-stop because it was long trip of train and buses and also on the airline. So do not underestimate this constant listening to the true Dhamma. If you listen attentively with mindfulness, with the faith, with the understanding, then you have that spiritual faculty with you, especially the faith. The faith in the Buddha and his teaching will give rise to that very strong virya that will drive you to cultivate. Then you will develop the next spiritual faculty, which is sati. And when you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. So when you have sati and samadhi develop, wisdom keep on arising. The direct seeing, the contemplation, the reflection, the listening, the dhamma, the first, second, third turning, they keep on arising. The spiritual faculties are faculty that enable you to understand spiritual teaching. That's why it's very powerful. Then the other thing about this opportunity time to listen to a true Dhamma is when you listen to a true Dhamma, you develop the faith. Then after that, you investigate into the Dhamma. Then it stand up to investigation. When it stand up to investigation, that is the time your faith become very strong. When it become unshakable, what happened? It become balas. Then that time, day and night, that is your passion. That is what you want to do. And you know, this is the most important thing that mankind need. If you don't have this Dhamma, you don't understand life. You cannot live life to the fullest. You cannot develop the understanding of life to free your mind, to liberate your mind, to be free from suffering, to understand the secret of life, to live life to the fullest. Yeah. So all these are very important. Then after this step two, step three automatically arises. What is step three? Huh? Just now I already explained. What is step three? Huh? Ah, faith in the Buddha and his teaching. And once you have this, you are home. It will drive you. The spiritual faculty will come, like I explained just now. Saddha will lead to virya. Virya will lead to sati. Sati, when you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. When there is sati and samadhi, wisdom keep on arising. The five spiritual faculty, when they are in place, the opposite five mental hindrances is to be. That's why you will be ever mindful, constantly meditating, heedful. You cannot be heedless anymore. You cannot have mental hindrance anymore. That is why faith is very important. Without saddha, the spiritual faculty cannot come. And you look at the Mahayana teaching, the Pure Land chanting, it's because of that faith in the Buddha and his teaching and his guidance. That's why from there they develop the virya to drive them. Then they constantly meditate via the chanting, bowing, lao fo, or whatever they do. That's how they develop mindfulness in daily life. So mindfulness in daily life is very important. When you develop mindfulness in daily life, you can understand the teaching very fast. You become heedful. That's why here, these three steps will lead to the fourth step. What is the fourth step? You will develop what? Well, after you constantly listen to Dhamma, you will straighten your view there. You will develop the faith after putting it to test in an investigation. So once you straighten your view, you develop what we call yoniso manasikara, wisdom born of Dhamma understanding, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. So step four is yoniso manasikara. So this step four, yeah, will lead to sati sampajana. This is mindfulness and clear comprehension. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience or yoniso manasikara, they will keep on arising after you listen to a Dhamma. Then you develop the understanding, you contemplate, you reflect, you cultivate. Then you develop the faith and you go all out to cultivate. Via the constant contemplation, reflection, you straighten your view to develop this yoniso manasikara. Once Yoniso Manasikara developed, you know what happened, huh? This is the wisdom at the moment of sense experience. After you have step four, which is most important, what happened to your mind state when you have this wisdom? Means every moment of sense experience at your sixth sense door, what happened? This Yoniso Manasikara arise to prompt you there. True or not? When it prompts you, what happened? You have the Dhamma understanding already there. You will not stir your mind anymore, yeah, like before. Yeah. Can you see this? And when your mind cannot react and stir, means what? You have Dhamma understanding that lead to equanimity of mind, understand now? The mind is at peace. Means no longer heedless like before. It no longer stir or react to sense experience. So you will have more and more moment of peace, understand now? So this one will lead to equanimity of mind. Means your mind does not stir or react to sense experience anymore. Not until this one arises, your sati cannot stabilize. When you understand your mind does not stir, then sati can arise, become very stable. Then you can develop the clear comprehension together to realize step five, sati sampajana. So once you develop these two, what will happen? Yeah? What will happen? Step six is what? What is step six? Ah, sense restraint. Very good. Ah, Bertil. What is sense restraint? How come you can have sense restraint? You cannot break your precept anymore. You understand? Because this sati and clear comprehension is so stable. The mindfulness is so aware, the moment you want to break your precept or anything that you perceive, because your mind cannot stir, you cannot react and develop the movement, what happened to you? You will have more and more moment of space between thought or silence. So we call it space between thought or silence. So when you have more and more space between thought or silence, means your sati stabilizes. You hardly think, understand? Then when these things happen, your awareness is so stable, your mental intention, you can see them. Even your subtle defilement, you can see them. Then when you can see them, how can you break your precept? Because all the precepts come with, after you chant, Panatipata, Viramani, Sikkhapadang, Samadhi, Yami. What is the meaning of that? I undertake the training rule to abstain from whether killing or whatever, or causing harm. So the training rule needs sati, understand not? You need to be aware of your mental intention. Then when your mental intention already arisen, you aware, it ceases. Understand not? We have this wrong thought. With the evil roots, how can it arise? I have given you all some example in the early days. Let's say to kill a mosquito or harm a mosquito or somebody. What happened is, you must have that visual contact or hearing contact about the mosquito being irritating, understand? You hear the sound, then you know this fellow coming to bite you or what. Then initially is your reaction to that sense experience, your aversion, your dislike. Then it conditions you to what? Get angry, want to kill, want to harm, because you say it's a nuisance. So what happened is you are mindful of that sense experience. If you have yoniso manasikara, he is just the way he is. That is life. This is precept. If you do any of this, you violate it, karma will take its course. And you will understand through the Dhamma, and you will not do. That's why that monk or cultivator who has that training, when they have sati, very stable, especially sati sammajana with clear comprehension, they cannot break the precept. We have the mental intention to kill come after. Understand? The first one is the sense experience, whether through your hearing or through what you see, then the thought respond, stir, and want to do something. Understand? Then only the intention to harm. Then the third stage is what? Let's say you want to kill. You don't have the mindfulness, you cannot stop it. Then what happened? To kill, you have to move your hand, isn't it? Kayanupasana. That movement, you see so clearly, so can you act out of it? You can't. Transgression cannot happen. Then the worst is, when you hit, the mosquito must be there for you to hit. So the probability and chances of violating the precept is almost zero. Completely. You cannot do. That's why number six is sense restraint. So this sense restraint is automatic. Once you have sense restraint, you are at least a sotapan. You are an arya already. So this one is very important. So sense restraint will lead to the seventh step, which is, what is the seventh step? The three types of right conduct. So all this will become automatic. That's why step six and seven means you already say home. You are at least a sotapan. Then by the time you can hit step seven, very likely you second stage of sainthood and beyond. Sakadagami. Yeah. Then after that only you can move on to step eight. What is step eight? Yeah? Cultivation of what? Sati Patthana Sutta, or the four foundation of mindfulness. So here, when you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, it's stated very clearly in the sutta, after overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you can cultivate this four foundation of mindfulness. What is covetousness and grief? Huh? Sensual desire, ill will, sorrow and lamentation. So all this is part and parcel of the first five fetters. The first five fetters of the 10 fetters that bind the living being to samsara is actually the one that trapped the living being. So because of that, when you become a sotapan, step six, then Sakadagami at step seven, you would have actually broken, or what we call rooted out, the first three fetters. The first one, of course, is Sakayaditi, self-delusion. That one you root it out first. Yeah. Then once you root that one out, you will develop what they call the understanding, yeah, of the importance of the Buddha's advice to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. That's why straight away, the sense restraint will be in place. That's why they tell you, the sotapan, they cannot break the precept anymore. The five precept, the minimum. Yeah. Then after that, the next two fetters, fourth and fifth, is what? Sensual desire and ill will, isn't it? So these two, once you can attenuate it, means from sense restraint, you will have the three types of right conduct. Means right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. You cannot violate already. And because of that, your sensual desire and ill will, which is the factor that condition all this, it is like almost not there, attenuated until very little. Then the moment you do the four foundation of mindfulness, according to the sutta, means after overcoming covetousness and grief, which is step 6 and 7, then you cultivate this one. Then at the end of the sutta, it says, you will realize at least one of the two, means at least an anagami, if there is still a little bit of fetters behind, or you will realize arahantship, means the 10 fetters all rooted out. So this four foundation of mindfulness, you only do after you have cleared step 6 and 7. Otherwise, you are wasting your time. Not to say you cannot do, you can do, but you are wasting your time. Because before you overcome covetousness and grief, you cannot develop the four foundation of mindfulness. The four foundation of mindfulness need those understanding behind. That's why it's specifically mentioned in the sutta, after overcoming covetousness and grief. Then you do this, then it's stated, you will realize at least anagami, if not arahantship. Is there is no more minor conceit and mana and all those things. Yeah. So all these are all listed in the Avijja Sutta. That's why you follow the Avijja Sutta, you will not go wrong. Then once you develop this step 8, what will happen to you? You know you are on the right path. The enlightenment factors, the 7 factors of enlightenment keep on arising. And what is that? That is step 9 there. So step 9 is the stage where you keep on witnessing the 7 factors of enlightenment. Then of course, step 10 is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So that's how the 10 steps in the Avijja Sutta can be a very good guide to bring about the understanding and the cultivation so that you will not go wrong. So this unique code is very important, very useful. So Avijja Sutta, very important. Okay, now we continue our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by Q&A and Dhamma sharing.
It's very relaxing. It's very relaxed for us to go and relax. I take it as a very relaxing. But we stay outside the in the hotel. Only the last 2 days we went up the mountain. So it's actually from my perspective, it's a condition dharma. It's condition because it's supposed to be for qiao guo.
Dakutu
is a dharma congregation. For all sentient beings, for all beings inclusive of the from the top Buddha, Bodhisattva,
The ten dharmarai.
Until the
The asura, as avijja. The four willful state, avijja. Hell rhyme.
Is actually a dharma congregation. It's the offering. It's actually offering to the of upper ranks,
yeah,
from the human beings and also the lower ranks,
yeah,
for
yeah,
the lower ranks. And we were taught about San Lun Ti Kong.
Oh, what is
San
that?
San Lun Ti Kong means nobody offering,
nobody oh,
to
very
receive
good.
And
yeah, the second hallmark of healing, no mark. No mark of anything. Wu xiang.
Wu xiang. And then we were taught also, why are we fall into this samsara?
Yeah, yeah, 31 plane of existence.
One thought of ignorance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The first thought of ignorance. And I remember one occasion when they have a lot, it's about a lot of rites and rituals.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
A lot of rites and rituals. And there were one rituals where they invite all the wuku states, those from
yeah,
the lower,
yeah, yeah,
lower realms. And when they invite in, it's really we can, sometimes if you are sensitive, you can smell and you know, you can feel
sense the, them, sense them.
Sadness, agitation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
remember after there were one occasion when they invite in,
actually
some session is middle of the night one, you
know. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We wake up 2:30 in the morning,
yeah,
and
yeah,
they
yeah.
start inviting. There were one session after they invite in, they give clothing, give them proper clothing, ask them to shower.
Oh, okay.
So at that time, they chant the verses on due to first thought of ignorance,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
They fall into the samsara.
Yeah, yeah.
That really hit me, and I was in tears because of one thought of ignorance.
Yeah.
Wow, that one is really. Well, to get out, and then we were saying that we were taught to get out of this samsara,
yeah.
We have to yi shi xiang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have to yi shi xiang. That means we must have no thought. We have to cultivate no thought, no mark.
Yeah. No dwelling. Yeah.
No dwelling.
Yeah.
How to achieve no thought, we 我们要离思想, 就是人, 我相, 人相, 众生相,
yeah, yeah.
受者相,
yeah.
All based on the 金刚,
yeah, yeah, 金刚经, yeah.
So it's like it's actually like we are chanting to the lower realms beings, but actually 是度他们, 是说我们要度他们, 其实我们是在度自己,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like
indirectly,
a,
yeah.
Yeah, it's 好像是一个 回光返照,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
a mirror reflecting.
Correct, yes.
If we don't keep our, if we don't start cultivating, then we will be forever.
Yeah, yeah, in samsara, yeah. 六道轮回. Yeah, yeah.
He told us the main purpose of this.
The
aspiration that he made this
yeah,
way
huh.
is first aspiration is 每个众生都能够找回自信
yeah, 可以,
可以回到自己的自信
yeah, yeah, yeah. Realize your own true nature within yeah. Yeah. That one most important. That's why they say 见性 yeah. Yeah. You must realize your true nature. It's like the Pusa Tao, when you can illuminate your nature clearly, that is the stage where you never fall. That is step three of the Bohemian development or transformation. Bohemian that can illuminate the nature, that is the stage. That's like Jian Xing. Actually, Jian Xing is the real cessation. It's not the normal glimpse, the sainthood way. The sainthood way, they don't realize that nature. They just what they call realize the cessation for a glimpse or even for a moment, then they cease. Because they don't quite understand the Bodhisattva way. Yeah. To realize that nature, to have that clear, stable understanding, you need to develop the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. Yeah. So, 明心见性, that is the stage where the Bodhisattva cultivate until their mind become very different. Then they realize the oneness nature, means the true nature within. That's why what we do with the awareness-based meditation is just the preliminary, the beginning. You only train your mind to be in the state of silence to realize the true mind. Not the whole thing, no. Just to realize the state of no thought, means Huineng's first hallmark of Wu Nian De Qing Jie, that you know that there is another mind which is completely beyond the thought process, or what we call the dependent originating condition arising mundane mind. And that one is from that nature, it creates all this. So when you cease everything and return to that nature, the first thing you come to be aware is the awareness nature. But the awareness nature is very, very deep. A lot of things inside there. That's why you need to stabilize it. You need to locate the gateway to transform and develop the understanding. Your wisdom energy, your pure energy, they must be developed. So only through the cultivation, the first hallmark of winning, second hallmark, then third hallmark of winning. You can do the third hallmark, you are very, very different already. That one means your mundane mind collapse already. If your mundane mind don't collapse, that nature cannot shine forth. So the Ming Xing Jian Xing will have to happen first. Then only that nature shine forth. Then you really with that nature inside there. So what he is telling you is very good. He aspire for all of you all to Jian Xing, to realize your nature soon as possible, which is very good. So that was his wish, yeah? First one. What other wish he has for you?
Second one is, may all sentient beings dwell in harmony.
Oh, sadhu. That one is important, yeah.
All sentient beings dwell in harmony. And may the planet be safe, everybody be safe and ping us.
Yeah. A lot of nature's disaster. Yeah. They are being like off and on. A lot of this typhoon, I don't know why they like that direction, the Taiwan side. They have a lot of earthquake also.
It seems that they are at the
ring. Oh, no wonder. Means they are within that zone. Philippines also same, Japan also same. They actually have to confront those nature's, what they call, activity first. That's why on our side here, together with China, we are actually very blessed in the sense that we are in a sort like protected by the first line of nation out there, especially Japan, Philippines, and even sometimes Kalimantan, Sabah, the area. Then we have the South China Sea. That one, actually a lot of things happen there. It's like the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean and the Indian Ocean. I think this four great waterway, they are really because of the consciousness, they are having a lot of problem. So we got no choice but to allow this phase to pass, to witness them. That's why a lot of cultivators, the way who have the understanding, they will play their role, and different people play their role differently. Yeah. Like for us, we follow Sakyamuni. Yeah. We invoke the closing puja. Yeah. So the closing puja is very important. That's why we chant Devo Vasatakalena. So we actually invoke the power of merits, for not only harmony, righteous king, good weather, everything, so that the world can be a more peaceful world. The people can be more blessed. So all these are useful, important. But there are still a large group of consciousness that is creating the disharmony, the warmonger and all things. Especially now you can see a few of these Western countries, especially the United States and some of the NATO countries. Their ideology is like that, because they are just the way they are, conditioned from the past. And the world is always full of humanity or leader with the greed, hatred and delusion. Now you want to see one leader that is genuinely for the country and the people, not easy. Maybe China has won, but it's also not easy. So this is what the world is. Very good. So he has this three very good aspiration for you all in the world. What else?
My name was like is a Dharma congregation. Participant is all over the world.
All over the world. You all make offerings?
Yeah, offerings.
Sadhu.
They offer from the highest rep to the lowest rep.
So yeah, yeah. What type of offering they do? Chanting.
Chanting. Fruits, flowers, and
Last time Shen Hua did one is different. Shen Hua did a Brickfield temple. He transmit the Bodhisattva vow.
Pusa
Jie.
Yes, we have one session.
That one is very important.
Pusa Jie,
and
this Chai Ingwen also here.
Transmit the Pusa Jie is very important.
He transmitted
Musashi
also.
That one, you know, that time at the Brickfield Temple there,
the whole stadium full.
People don't understand what Shen Hua was doing. He transmitted the Bodhisattva precepts. I was there with my whole family. We took the thing. That's why that one, that time my nature very strong. Then I can sense that they, the being rejoiced, the nature very strong. And this one is not to cultivator alone, no. He transmit to all the hell beings, everybody, you know.
Yeah. That is the highlight. That one I've forgotten. That is the
highlight. He transmit that time, he tell them, the only way you can come out is to take this Pusat Jie. The Bodhisattva precepts.
And I remember that night before we enter the stadium, everybody didn't check, like through the airport. So
okay.
I was quite shocked. I said, you all bring weapons? I said, who will bring weapons inside here? And we didn't know that the president is joining.
Oh.
So she's joining.
No wonder lah, Chai Yiwen.
She also joined in.
I thought he is a Christian.
But she
wants
also.
Yeah, she attend all this because she wants to.
For the country also.
Yeah, she wants to be part of the thing. Means they all politicians, they go everywhere. So maybe in the sense that.
Because they are participants from China also, so that's why people are very strict.
Definitely. Because if you have such occasion, but they have their bodyguard and all those things on, and they know what to do on. So he came for a while only.
Yeah, she came for a while.
Yeah, she normally wouldn't stay on. It's for, yeah, for the ceremony, then they will leave. Yeah, they are very busy. Oh, not bad. The Pusat Jet.
Yeah, they emphasize the God, they say this one is compulsory.
Yeah, Bodhisattva precept.
All the rest you can choose whether to attend or not.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one is said for this Pusat Jet, that session, they say they encourage everybody to attend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no compulsory session, no such thing as compulsory.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
A
lot of joy. Yeah, yeah. Farsi, Farsi sing. Yeah, 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 yeah. Very good, sadhu.
That's why I say it's a trip to relax.
Yeah, to partake in the Fa Hui, the type of Fa Hui. So over how many days they do?
8 days, 7 nights.
Oh, 8 days, 7 nights. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Sadhu.
So after that, then we went up to the mountain, then taking refuge.
Yeah.
Take refuge and then skip the steps.
Yeah, Kui Yi San Pao. He don't have the ceremony to receive new followers. Xian Hua last time got one ceremony. Kui Yi under him, no, not Kui Yi San Pao. No. You do both, so he give you a name.
That one already have, so we don't have to do.
No. Oakland Road there, the Buddhist temple there. So all those who want to take refuge under him. So he gave the name to every one of us. And his one very easy. He said, change your center name to Guo, Fruition.
Jing one also changed the center name. Jing is under Sinta Fasuan. Change the center name into Jue.
Jue, enlightenment realization. Ours is Guo Fruition.
Mine
become Zhang Guo Kun instead of Zhang Jian Kun become Zhang Guo Kun.
But mine is they see my Chinese name and they give the meaning. Sui Lian is a lotus mark.
Yeah.
So he gave me. 他们那一次是排眼嘛，眼柔，眼柔。So lotus is supposed to be soft-hearted and.
Yeah. That one refer to your nature. Your nature is 眼柔, but the mundane mind is different. So when you cultivate, that one transform. Then that nature surface.
I was quite shocked.
So all this, when you go through them, you really have the understanding and you rejoice, because this is what your nature is. When you come, you're supposed to go through, you will go through, and you will witness. That time I remember I was English educator. I don't really understand what he actually meant at that time. But that thing struck me, because the Pusachi, then the Kui Yi Sampo, and my whole family, my two children also follow. There is a booklet, I remember. I still have the booklet.
I also have
the Kui Yi one.
Her name is Yen Yen.
Oh. We are the same generation.
Same generation.
That means you have manifest. Very good, Sadhu. Oh, another 6 minutes, you can summarize. Yeah, Professor.
Actually, it's more for a relax, to get away from the home and the comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because some of the session, I have three middle night session. 1 o'clock, 2:30, 2:30. So just have a taste and see how is it. But online we did before, but when you are there. 3,000 people is
different.
Different.
You will experience different things.
With the Sifu there, the understanding.
Yeah.
All the background, and then when we chant, understanding is actually is debating how to walk the Bodhisattva道.
Sadhu, that one is very good.
So this time you also go because of causes and conditions.
He also go. Sadhu, very good. Very good. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I think we can end the session. We will do the sharing of merits and honesty. Also, just an announcement. I repeat, before I start, I already announced, but now I announce again. Next, about 2 weeks, I will be away, going to China, Xinjiang trip. I'm going with my wife, Suyan and Mifeng. We join a group. So our class will be cancelled. For the next 2 weeks, I will make the announcement. So just make a note. Okay, now we will share merits. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana eta vata chamehi Sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapa sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu Sukhita hontu nyatayo Devo asatu kalena Sasa sampati hetu cha Pito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Kwanya Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Sadhu.